begin, if you will turn to Colossians, that's where we're going to be in just a moment. But before we get there, I just want to just ask you a question this morning. When is the last time someone told you to act your age? Act your age. How, or maybe a better way to put it is, how old were you the last time somebody had to tell you to act your age? JR said 5 minutes ago. Which I actually thought might happen. I thought we might have some guys in here that their wives looked at them and say, I told him that this morning, in fact. Act your age. You know, enclosed in that statement, act your age, is a it's kind of an underlying message that is, you are not who you used to be, act like it. That's kind of what's enclosed in that act your age statement. And our society does a really good job at reminding us that we are not who we used to be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, our society does a really good job reminding us that we're not as young as we used to be, that we're not who we used to be. The time that it just dawned on me the most, I was filling out one of those things online where you have to choose the year of your birth, right? And this happened a few years ago, and so you pull up the little menu that gives you a whole page of birth years, right? And I pulled it up, and my birth year was not on there. And my first thought was, they have left my birth year off of this instruction. And then as I just looked, and then I realized I had to go to the next page. I'm telling you, it is not a good thing when you have to roll down past the first page, past the second page, to choose your birth year. That is not fun. Maybe even worse than that is some of these things you have to fill out, and they put you in groups of ages, you know, and it usually goes from like, I don't know, 18 to 24, and then 25 to 35, and then, you know, 35 to 49, they cut it off at 49, and then the most cruel of them, I mean, sometimes they'll go 50 to 60, but the most cruel of them says 50 plus. That's just, I mean, like when you get over 50, it's just gone then. It's just 50 plus after that. But the reminder in all of that is you are not who you used to be. Act like it. And there is a sense of that message in the message that I want to talk with you about tonight. It's because we've been talking about our identity in Christ. For weeks now, we've been talking about our identity in Christ. We've discovered, and just pause with me, just stay with me just for a moment, because this is going to be the last message that I'm preaching this series. It's probably going to be a two-parter, seeing where we are this morning, but it's going to be the last, so just stay with me just for a moment, because through this whole series, we've discovered some incredible things. We discovered in Reason to Celebrate, we discovered that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Aren't you, can I get an amen this morning? Aren't you glad this morning that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ? We've talked about that. We talked about being God's child. Aren't you glad this morning that you are God's child? You know, there are a lot of people that want to label you a child of the 60s or a child of your past. I am God's child. Aren't you God's child this morning? I am glad that I am God's child. And as God's child, we are led by the Spirit. And that's part of who we are. It's part of our DNA. Our DNA in Christ. You are God's child. Then we talked about that we are overcomers and more. Somebody say overcomers and more. I am glad this morning that you and I are overcomers and more in Christ. And we talked about that. Last week, we talked about what? Being connected. Being plugged in, being into the vine and being connected. And because we are connected, we are bearing fruit, and that fruit brings him glory, and that fruit remains. We talked about that over the last several weeks. On Wednesday night, we've delved even deeper than that. We have discussed over 30 specific scriptures that talk about who you are in Christ. I want you to know this morning that there's a wealth of knowledge about us being accepted in Christ and secure in Christ and significant in Christ and who all we are in Christ. And the emphasis has been on who we are and what we have been given in Christ. And this morning, I want to take just a moment this morning, and I want us to unpack a scripture that speaks to the practical application of that, the practical view of that, the practical impact of that. Because here's what I know. If you are in Christ, you should act like it. Come on now, if you are in Christ, it should show. If you are in Christ, it should be demonstrated in our lives. In fact, the worst thing in the world anybody can say about you is, I didn't know you were a Christian. Right? I mean, if you're in the workplace, you know, right? And your coworker that you've been working beside for 17 months says to you, I didn't know you were a Christian. There's a problem. Because if you are in Christ, it should show. Amen? In Christ. Paul is in a Roman prison when he writes this letter. And this letter that we're going to read from for a moment, false teachers are trying to encourage the disciples that are there, that church there. He's trying to encourage them to get away from the reality of who they are in Christ. And he's encouraging them in legalism and rituals and all of this stuff. And Paul writes back to them about their spiritual fullness in Christ. You are spiritually full in Christ. And about living in that faith, because that faith is enough. You do understand, don't you, this morning, that who you are in Christ is enough. It is enough. And so I want to just read this morning. I'm going to read through a passage of scripture. And then I want to go back and break it down into four sections, and let's just talk about this. And I'll let you off the hook early. I knew before we left the house, I told you, and I said, I just have a feeling this is going to be a two-parter. I didn't quite know why. Now to see the flow of the service, I understand why. But I want to unpack this for us this morning. So go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read several verses, and then I just want to talk about it for a few moments. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices. Can I get a amen? And put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. If you have any grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all these virtues put on love, which binds us together in the unity, in the perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning for the privilege we have to just spend the next few moments, unpacking this idea of being alive in Christ and the difference that it should make. We pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to take a few moments this morning and just unpack a little bit of this for us. Here's what I know. If you are in Christ, it should make a difference in your life. The idea of a casual Christian is an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? An oxymoron is two statements, two words that are put together that have nothing to do with each other. It's an oxymoron. And because of that contrast, it is stark. It's a stark reality. And an oxymoron is casual Christian, right? My goodness, you got quiet this morning. Casual Christian is an oxymoron. In other words, there is no, that is not a valid statement. There is nothing casual about being a Christian. There's nothing casual about being, it's like the idea of I'll be there in a minute. I mean, you're either going to be there or it's going to be in, are you ready? Yes, in a minute. No, you're either ready or it's in a minute. It can't be both. It's this idea. You see, if you are in Christ, you should, well, live like it. And it should so. Because here's the thing, and this is the reality. Being alive in Christ is a product of being in Christ. In other words, you can't be in Christ and be dead. Right? I mean, by its nature, being alive is being in Christ. In fact, Paul sets this stage from the very beginning. Notice what he says. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. That statement sets the tone for everything that he's going to say, really, in most of the rest of this book. Since then, this is an if-then statement. It's written a little odd grammar-wise. Since you have been raised in Christ, then, and he begins to say some things. So it's a since then, a if then statement. It is a statement with a result that follows up. And that's what he is saying. He is saying to them that there are some things. In other words, since you were raised with Christ, then there are some things that you have to do. Paul is making an if then statement. He's saying, since something has happened, there should be this result. And the something is that you have been raised with Christ. You do understand this morning that we have spent weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks talking about who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you and what Christ has given for you and all that he has, all the rich spiritual blessings that, and we spent weeks and weeks and weeks and talking about it, and it ultimately comes to this moment this morning for us to understand that yes, God has done all of that for us in Christ. He has raised us from the dead. Therefore, I am alive. Act like it. There it is. There it is. It just kind of lays itself out before us. Paul is literally saying this: you have been resurrected. You are no longer in the grave. You are no longer in the grave of sin. You are no longer in the grave of bondage. You are no longer in the grave of darkness. You are no longer in that. Then act like it. See, we love those messages, and I love preaching those messages about who I am in Christ, and that he has made me an overcomer, and he has called me to live above and not below, that he has seated me in heavenly places. We talked about that Wednesday night. He has seated me with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and darkness. I love preaching those messages about I am a child of God, that I am redeemed, that I am adopted, that I am grafted in. I love preaching those messages that the Holy Spirit lives inside of me and that makes me his child, that he has called me his own, that he has written my name in his name in my forehead, and he has moved into my heart. And I love preaching those messages. But ultimately, Dean, at the end of the day, there has to be some results. There has to be some evidence. There has to be a lifestyle change. If I am in Christ, then I'm not in death. I am alive in him. In other words, Paul brings it down. He boils it down. He comes down to this idea that you and I are to be in Christ. And being in Christ, we are alive in him. Say it with me. I'm alive in Christ. It's time I live like it. Well, there you go. Now we can pray and dismiss. And you are alive in Christ. There has to be some demonstration of it. There has to be some evidence of it. And understand this. I mentioned this Wednesday night. This is an organic thing. In other words, it is not legalistic. And I just want to get this clear to you. Before I go on with anything else, that I've got to say this. This is not legalistic. In other words, I am not saying to you that because you are in Christ, here is a list of do's and don'ts. I'm not saying to you that because you are in Christ, that here is a chronicle, here's a 10-page list of what you can do and you can't. That's not it at all. What I am saying to you is if, as we said last week, that I am connected in him, if, as we said last week, that I'm grafted in, if, as we said last week, that I am a branch of the true vine, that I am plugged into the true vine, if that is the case, his life is going to flow through me and it's going to bud out in my life and it's going to bear fruit that proves life, abundant life and eternal life. And then Paul says four things that will happen that are a result that demonstrate that we are in Christ. And I'm going to share one of them with you this morning, and I'll share the other three next week. Just for sake of time and sake of my voice this morning, because we've spent a lot of time around the altar. But I want us to talk about this first one this morning, because it is absolutely crucial. It sets the tone for the other three that we will talk about next week. And here's the first thing that Paul says. He says, since then you've been raised in Christ, and here it is, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Do you see what he says? The first thing he says is this: since you are alive in Christ, since you are alive in him, somewhere along the way, you've got to set your heart on things that are Christ and not things of the earth. There is this fundamental misunderstanding about what it means to be in Christ in some walks of life today, in some traditions, in some belief systems. There's this fundamental difference, this fundamental false idea that you can be in Christ and live like you're not. There we go. That you can be in Christ and live like you're not. And the first thing that has to happen, he said, if you are in Christ, if you've been resurrected, notice what he said, you were dead in the grave. You were dead in the grave. Therefore what? You were in the grave, and Christ raised you with him. He raised you out of the grave of death. He raised you out of the grave of sin. He raised you up, and since you have been raised up with him, then set your mind on things above and not things below. Can I tell you, your first battle and your greatest battle will be what you do with your mind. What you do with your mind. Setting your sight, setting your hearts, setting your mind, setting your attention on the things that are above rather than the things that are below. Setting those on the things that are eternal rather than the things that are temporal. In other words, since you are alive in Christ, set your mind on life. Can I say it again? Since you are alive in Christ, set your mind on life, abundant life, and eternal life. In fact, verse 4 here sums it up beautifully. Here's what it says. Christ, who is your life. Christ, who is your life. There is this fundamental need in Christianity that for us to set our minds on Christ. The temptation is this, is that we turn and set our minds back on those things that were prior. Set our minds on those things that are prior. He says, set your heart, and he says, and then repeats it again, and he says, set your mind on the things above and not on the earthly things. There has to be this understanding, because you are in Christ, that everything has changed, that your old values have been replaced with better values, that your old desires have been replaced with better desires, that your old dreams have been replaced with better dreams, that your old hopes have been replaced with better hopes, that your old purpose has been replaced with a better purpose. Why would I then go and dig through the old stuff and try to dredge it up when I've been given new life and new purpose and new hope and new joy and new peace and new life? Why do I want to go back and dig through the old? Set your mind on that which is above. And it is for lack of that understanding that I think many young Christians and many not so young Christians struggle, because we keep going back and setting our minds on those old, listen, the old ways are going to just make you the old person. Right? You are a new person in Christ. You are alive in Christ. You've been made new in Him. Why do you want to do the things that make you the old person again, the old man again, the old person that He resurrected me out of that? He raised you and I to eternal life, and therefore I'm to set my mind and set my heart on the things that are above. I believe that is the greatest battle for the Christian, is where I set my mind and where I set my heart. You might say, now, Pastor, how do I do that? And we're going to talk about that some more next week, in some very specific ways that Paul talks about. But I just want to talk with you just for a moment about setting your mind every day. Setting your mind every day. Now this, I know you've heard this over and over and over again, and you've heard me preach it over and over and over again, but I'm going to tell you this morning, this is what it comes down to. If you're going to set your heart and set your minds, you cannot get around it. You absolutely must start your day by setting your mind in the right direction and setting your heart in the right direction. You know, I've got this little thing on my phone, and most of you do as well. It's a navigator. And mostly I know how to work it. But this navigator in my phone, just stick with me a moment. This navigator in my phone needs to know two things for it to be of any help to me whatsoever. It needs to know two things. One, it needs to know where I am. And two, it needs to know where I want to go. In other words, it can know where I want to go, but it cannot get me there unless it knows where I am. Right? And it can know where I am, but unless I tell it where I want to go, it can't help me. It can't help me. And the thing I'm thankful about the navigator, about especially in the smartphones, smartphones for dumb people, is that the smartphone knows where I am even when I don't. Right? It knows where I am even when I don't. And I'm glad that it does, because sometimes I don't know where I am. And come on, I know I'm not the only one. Some of you, your wives have known that you didn't know where you were, and you wouldn't admit it. You don't know where you are, but the smartphone knows where I am. I want to tell you something this morning. If you will take each day, if you will start each day with the Word of God, each day you spend some time in the Word of God, and one thing it will tell you is it will help you to understand where you are. Because here's one thing that I know in my life, and I know it in your life too. If I'm ever going to get anywhere, I got to know where I am. I don't want to think, LaVon, I don't want to think that I'm somewhere in God that I'm not. I don't want to think that I'm somebody in God that I'm not. I don't want to think that I'm something in God that I'm not. But what I do want to know is who I am in Him. I do want to know where I am in Him. I do want to know who He's made me, and I got to establish that. And when I spend some time in His Word, Holy Spirit, speak to me from Your Word. The psalmist put it this way. He said, if there's any wicked way in me. That's a valid prayer. That's a good prayer. If there's anything in me you don't like, if there's anything in me that's of the old man, if there's anything that's of the old person, Lord, show me where I am. I want to know where I am in Him, right? Spending some time in the Word, first of all, every morning will help you to know where you are. I mean, You may be reading about the miracles, or you may be reading about Christ's life, or you may be reading in the epistles, Paul's writings, or James' writings, and some of those things will help you understand where you are, help me understand where I am. In fact, let me see if I can illustrate. I know this is going to register with you this morning. I know this was registered. How many of you have ever, you picked up the Word in the morning, and you're just reading through it, and I think I mentioned this last week, and it's like that scripture the Holy Spirit puts His finger right, you know what I'm saying, right on that place. And what you do is you just kind of read right over it. But then you get in the car and turn Waylove on, and they're reading the same scripture, right? And so you flip it over to one of the other channels, and they're singing a song that's got the same theme in it. Right? And then you get to work, and your coworker at work has just put a little post-it note that just had a word from the Lord for you. And you're like, what? You know what that's? The Holy Spirit, through His Word, is trying to let you know where you are. Sometimes it's corrective, and sometimes it's encouraging. Sometimes it's uplifting, and sometimes it's admonishing. But all of that is okay. Because listen to me, if you're ever going to get anywhere, you got to know where you are. Part of setting your heart and setting your mind is knowing where you are. And by the great grace of Christ, by His Word and by His Spirit, I want to know each day where I am, who He has made me, who He has called me to be, and there's something in me that needs to be made more like Him, right? The second thing that spending some time in the Word and with the Spirit, the second thing it will do is this. It'll set your heart on the things that matter. It'll set your heart on the things that last. It'll set your heart on the things that are important to God's heart. God, I dare you to pray a dangerous prayer in the morning. God, dare you to pray a dangerous prayer in the morning when you take the Word and when you sit and you meditate on the Word and when you spend some time in the Word. Can I dare you this morning, in the morning, to pray this prayer? God, make what is important to you today important to me today. Make what you care about today help me to care about it today. And Lord, the things that just don't matter, the things that just are not important, Lord, help me to kind of just push those to the side and make what matters today to you matter to me. You know what that's doing? That's setting your heart on the things above. That's setting your mind on the things above. I'm talking about it in a real and tangible way. I'm not talking about, I've used this phrase before, being so heavily minded that you're no earthly good. Right? I'm not talking about pie in the sky and just walking around and, I can't get any work done today because I'm just, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is just moving and I just can't get any work done. That's all well and good. That's all well and good, but your boss expects you to get some work done today. I'm talking about in a real and practical way. God, when I go to work today, I know I got a job to do. I want to do that job well. That's part of your testimony as a Christian. Can I get an amen? It's doing a job well, right? But when I go to work today, Lord, help today the things that matter to you to matter to me. Now, what might that look like, Pastor? That might look like that the person sitting across from your desk or on the other end of that phone that is absolutely just a nasty person. You know what I'm saying? They're just being nasty. But it may mean that God has placed you in their life on this day for a purpose, for a reason, because you are in Christ and they are not, and they need to see what a life that is in Christ looks like. But without setting your mind and setting your hearts in the morning, what may matter most is getting your point across or winning the argument or getting your way. Wow. Pastor, you said this morning in your email yesterday, and you said on Facebook this morning that you are just so excited about the message for today, and I am. But not because it's a jump up and shout, turn around and dance message, but because, listen, what I'm telling you this morning will transform your life. If you've been struggling living as a Christian, if you've been struggling living like you're alive, if you've been struggling living like you are in Christ, I'm telling you, this will absolutely change your life. If you in the morning will get up and spend some time in the Word and spend some time with the Spirit and let Him show you where you are and where He wants you to go, I promise you, it will transform not only your life, it'll transform your day, because you'll be on a path and on a mission and you'll be walking with God. I want to set my heart on things above. Why? Because I've been raised up. I want to set my mind on things above. Why? Because I've been raised up. I don't have time to be the old man. I'm too busy being the new man that God has made me to be. And part of that is to be alive in Him by setting my heart and setting my mind on the things above. Amen? That's good word this morning. That's good word. That word will transform and change your life this morning. I want to kind of draw this down to a close, and I'm going to finish this message next week. But I want to speak to you. I want to say to you this morning, can I challenge you to do just that in the morning? Can I challenge you in the morning and say, Lord, when you get up, first thing, before you get through the rest, before you get started with your day, say, Lord, today I want to know where I am, and I want to know where you want to carry me today. I challenge you just by the, within His Word and in His Spirit, I challenge you to pray that prayer and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and you will begin to live like the person that you are, because you are alive in Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to invite you to stand this morning. Just want to pray a prayer over you. Father, we thank You and we praise You this morning. This whole service, Lord, has been a little different than what we had thought it was, but we thank You, Lord, that You moved around the altar and You moved through the communion times and You touched people's lives. And Lord, when we come to this moment right here this morning, we thank You that we are alive in Christ. Lord, we thank You, God, that You've made us Your children. We thank You that You've called us Your own. You thank You, Lord God, that we're not the old person we used to be, but we're a new person in You. Lord, we thank You for all of that, God. And we're saying this morning that we want to live like it. We want our lives to demonstrate, our testimonies to tell, our words to preach, our lives to speak, that we are alive in You today, God. So, Lord, I ask You that in every life that is here, that, Lord, You will in the morning make this very real to every one of us. Lord, some will not have but a few moments when they start their day. Others, Lord, there may be others that are disciplined, Lord. They're in the habit of getting up early. They may have a long while, but in every life, I pray, Lord, that this morning, or that in the morning, we'll start it by saying, Lord, show me by Your Spirit and by Your Word, show me where I am. Show me where You want me to go. Because, Lord, I know that when we do that, Lord, our lives will begin to reflect the fact that we are alive in You. And the world will see the difference. and you will get the glory for it. And some, God, some will come to know you, Lord, because of the lives that we live. We thank you and we praise you for today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I encourage you this week to be here on Wednesday night, all of the sanctuary discussion, the discussions in the Girls Ministry, Royal Rangers Youth. I encourage you to come and be a part of it. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you. You're not going to want to miss part 2, part B next week. God bless you. We love you.